God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. Imagine being imprisoned thousands and thousands of miles from home in Russia for a crime you did not commit, or for that matter, for a crime you did commit. Suppose you're accused of espionage. Can you imagine anything more isolating, more frightening than being imprisoned in Russia far from home where the justice system is dubious at best? Now, what about if you were imprisoned in your own home? Would you feel better then? You know, the truth is, 1 Peter is written to people who are strangers. That is, not that they're stranger than the next guy, but that they're not domestic. They're not from here. They're strangers. They're not from around here. They're sojourners. That is, they're on a journey. They're pilgrims. And they're dearly beloved. You see, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And so all that 1 Peter has to say is written to believers who are living in, at times, a hostile world, realizing that this world is not our home. So the truth is, you won't know how to live righteously until you know who has the right to judge. Three things in response to this righteous judge that we can take to heart. Number one is commitment. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, the Bible gives us the example of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. He committed himself. Commitment, that's a surrender to God. So when I respond to the righteous judge in the midst of a wicked world, I need to realize the importance of commitment. That is giving my well-being to him that judgeth righteously. Second of all, we think about comfort. I can respond to the righteous judge in the midst of an unrighteous world with comfort. Verse 12 of chapter 3 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." This almost sounds proverbial, like a verse you might have pulled from Proverbs. You have on the one hand and on the other hand. On the one hand, the Lord is the face of the Lord, that is both his eyes, his ears, and everything, is against them that do evil. And then the first part of the verse says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. So suppose you are in a prison miles and miles from home. Suppose there are unrighteous people that are standing in judgment of you. The question is, do you know the righteous judge? Maybe you're in this country, and maybe you're being judged, not legally, but by friends or neighbors or people online. You can take comfort in the fact that the righteous judge judges righteously those who live in righteousness. That is, we can be comforted that he hears, that he sees, that he knows. We're not abandoned. We're not left on our own. So I can commit my life to him. I can take comfort in the fact that he hears and that he sees. And then we have the thought of the conscience, verse 16, having a good conscience. So we're to reverence the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason, it says reasonable, reason of the hope, not dread, hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience. A conscience means moral perception. It means you're not blind. You can distinguish right from wrong. And the English word kind of bears that out. Conscience, with science, with knowledge. It's not just a feeling. It's a knowledge of what is right and wrong because there's a judge that surpasses the government or society or any other institution. There's a God who is judged before whom we will all stand. And so that helps me know how to behave towards government. I'm not to be a rebel to my brothers and sisters. I'm to have compassion. I'm to be pitiful. I'm to be courteous. And to society, the Bible says it's better to suffer for doing right than to suffer for doing wrong. If I suffer for doing wrong, then I'm not being persecuted as a believer. I'm being judged because I've done something that is wrong. A year ago, I got pulled over. I think it was in Riverton. Anyway, in Wyoming, I think it was a speed trap, but I'm sure I was speeding. Okay, when the officer pulled me over, it would not have been right for me to say, "Hey, how dare you persecute me as a Christian?" I'm a Christian, but I wasn't being persecuted for being a Christian. I was being pulled over because I broke the law. I was speeding in his town. So conscience is being able to distinguish right from wrong. It's being able to say, this is right based on the standard of a holy God. And it helps me know how to judge or deal with government, deal with my brothers and sisters, and how to deal with society. It's better to suffer for doing right than to suffer for doing wrong, the Bible says, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Friend, our lives today are not to be rebellion, nor are they to be a pushover. Our lives are to be a testimony of a living Christ, because the one that judgeth righteously, as the Bible says, is open to the prayers of the righteous. You will not know how to live righteously until you know who has the right to judge, and that would be the Lord God.